Welcome to Las Vegas Suns Prep Sports Now podcast, first edition of 2010. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Southern Nevada high school football expert Ray Brewer. You'll have to excuse him if he cuts in and out here because I'm still not convinced that he's going to be able to sit still for long enough to do this podcast. So excited because it's the first day of practice. Kids are strapping on their helmets, and Ray, like I said, can't sit still. Gorman already started practice because they have a game before everyone else, but everyone else starts practice today. Ray, what do you think about this time of year?
It's a beautiful time of the year, Case, for one reason. Every team, all 32 teams, think that they're going to win the state championship. They think they're going to smack you in the mouth. They think they're going to beat the big dog, Bishop Gorman. Well, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but I know the enthusiasm, the excitement, the just being part of a team and going out there, Friday Night Lights, family and friends, great time of the year. You and me, we're going to be out there all year. We love this. You're a former, what, All-American Kansas high school football player?
All-world.
All-world. I'm a former bench warmer on the Chaparral soccer team. We've got great credentials to make it a long way, guy.
Well, you mentioned our first topic. Let's get right to it. Can anyone beat Bishop Gorman this year? I mean, last year, undefeated. I don't think they had a game closer than 21 points. Are they going to be able to be beaten this year?
I made a comment earlier in the offseason that you could get the best players from each school in the Valley, put them on the same team, and they'd still lose by three touchdowns to Gorman. Probably still true, Case. Gorman just, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. They've got elite players at every position. It's a great football program. The question is, are they going to win all their games? They're playing three out-of-state opponents, real quality opponent teams, and the question's going to be, sure, Gorman's going to rock and roll through all the local teams, but are they going to rock and roll when they play those three out-of-state teams?
Right, they got Hamilton High, which they start in just a couple weeks, in Arizona, a team from Arizona, and they also have two California teams, Del Oro and De La Salle. So do you think they can win all three of those, or what do you have their record in those three games?
I said it's going to be 2-1. I think they beat Hamilton High, which would be a huge victory. Both Gorman and Hamilton, they play August 21st on Saturday, nationally ranked top 25 teams. The game's in Flagstaff. If Gorman wins this game, they're going to get that national respect they're looking for. I think Gorman wins that game. I think they win the first Saturday. They come back the 28th. I think they beat Del Oro. I think they lose against De La Salle, the California Power, September 28th. Listen, this Gorman team's they're going to be great, but remember, they had eight Division I kids last year. You got to replace all those. You got a lot of young kids, new positions. They're you know, it's going to be their first, you know, game. Wow, Hamilton High. This isn't Clark. This isn't Pahrump. This is a big time team. And I was out of practice today at Gorman, Case. They're going through the two-minute drill, and I'm thinking, wow, they never used that all last year. They were never involved in a real game last year. Their kicker never had to make a real kick. They never had to complete a real pass. You know, it was, you know, nine plays in the second half against Pahrump, their offense. It was, you know, blowing everybody out. So how is it going to be when this Gorman team's involved in a close game? And this new Gorman team, it's not like it's the Gorman from last year. It's not like it's the Xavier Grimbles, the Alex Turners. It's a whole new batch of players. And, you know, and I'm just going to keep rambling here. Everybody, Case, is like, well, they hate Gorman. Everybody roots against Gorman. Well, I'm saying embrace Gorman. If Gorman beats Hamilton, you know, two nationally ranked teams, that's great for Las Vegas. It opens the door even further. If they beat De La Salle on a national TV game, hello, that is a great thing for Las Vegas. I know Gorman is aiming for national respect this year. The state title, obviously you got to get that to get the national respect, but they think they could run the table again. That's their goal. I talked to the quarterback in New Solomon. He was a freshman last year, 15-0. He said, I want to go 60-0 in high school. That's pretty impressive. I know I'm dominating the mic here because I'm just so fired up, brother. Give me your take on Gorman. Do you think they go undefeated? Do you think they battle with the big boys from out of state?
Well, it pains me to not give our listeners any variety, but I really think they lose one game in the regular season, and I got to say it's the same game as you, De La Salle. I think the Hamilton game could be great, though. I think it could be an instant classic right from the beginning because, look, you know, this is earlier than teams are used to playing. They're going to be rusty from the beginning. I think they'll really get in a battle, but Gorman will pull that one out, and I also expect them to beat Del Oro. But maybe this is where we can disagree. Let's look at some other teams to watch in Southern Nevada. Obviously, the other big two always, Palo, Vegas. Who are some other teams? Who are maybe some teams that could give Gorman some trouble come playoff time?
Well, obviously, Paolo and Vegas. Vegas is super athletic. Paolo is real disciplined. They've got a great system, and they've got Brandon Wright, the best player in town, who's not on Gorman. You got to love Liberty. They're huge up front. They're going to pound the ball down your throat and be very aggressive. You got to like Del Sol. They lost to Gorman last year in the state title. You got to like Silverado. There's some teams that are out there that are going to be competitive. They're going to have good games, and on any given day could give Gorman a run for their money. Here's the deal with Gorman. Gorman is going to have to commit a lot of penalties, have a lot of mental errors, and this other team is going to have to play a perfect game, control the clock to possibly beat them. It can be done. Other teams, especially Vegas, man, Vegas has got Marquand Major, best receiver in town. Hassan Henderson, a 6'4 quarterback that runs like a horse. And Pharrell Victor, who is so quick, you know, it's like the Roadrunner running right by you in case you can't keep track of him. I'd like to see those three athletes against Gorman. I'd love to see it. I think that it can be done. It just would take a perfect little combination of things to get going. Case, my man, you've talked to a lot of folks. I know that, you know, you're not as big on the Gorman bandwagon as others. You know they're good, but you're a little more realistic than me. You think that they can be beat.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's first say this. If it's odds, Gorman is the favorite. You can't dispute that. But we're 10 minutes into this podcast. It's time for me to be bold. It's time for me to make a stand. And I will say right now, prediction for 4 months down the line, because it's never too early, Palo Verde will beat Gorman in the playoffs. I love this Palo team. I just think that what did Ray say was one of the keys to beating Gorman, if it ever gets to that point? Controlling the clock. I think that we all know Paolo can do that. I think they've got the best player in the state in Brandon Wright. Sign me up for Paolo Verde.
And why that pick? It seems a little crazy considering that, you know, Paolo wasn't even near Gorman last year. But that game will be at Paolo this year. They will have a little bit of a home field advantage. It'll be cold out. The grass will be hard at Paolo. It'll hurt when you fall down and get tackled. So, I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, upset of the century. It wouldn't be USA Hockey beating USR. It wouldn't be Chaparral beating Gorman or winning a game. But it would be an upset of upsets, I think.
And, I mean, and look, Paolo has got those new Under Armour jerseys that are just so spiffy. I mean, I think the old saying is, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you play good. And, I mean, they look like the Permian Panthers from Friday Night Lights, the movie. Exactly the same jerseys. I'm telling you, I love this Paolo team. But I probably shouldn't get too far ahead of myself because if you don't remember, Paolo didn't even win the Northwest last year. Legacy, in only their third year as a school, went undefeated, beat Paolo and Cimarron, won the Northwest. I think it's fair enough to say they were a sleeper last year at the beginning of the year. So, Ray, who are you looking to make the jump like Legacy did last year?
Well, when you're talking sleepers, you got to look at the Liberty team. The school's been open 8 years. Last year they made the playoffs for the first time, and they won their first playoff game. A lot of people think that they'd probably hit their ceiling, that that's as good as Liberty football's ever going to be. But they've got a lot of talented players. A kid named Sam Tai, who's got about 10 scholarship offers. He's a defensive end. They're going to be tough to score on. They do lack speed, but I really think this Liberty team, if everything falls into place, will make a very good deep run. A lot of people say, well, is Silverado a sleeper? Well, every year we mention Silverado is possibly a good team, even though they haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years. This year they bring in Randall Cunningham, the NFL, UNLV great. He's their offensive coordinator. He's adding a little, you know, diversity. They're going to maybe pass the ball a little more. Maybe throw Silverado into that mix. Case, put me down, though. I think this Liberty team, I put them number 3 in our top 10 poll for the preseason. I think Liberty goes a far way. We were talking before we got here to do the podcast about your surprise team, and I'm going to go outside while you talk for a little bit because I can't believe you're going to mention this team. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I love Liberty, but I don't think Brewer is really going out too far. I mean, they're a playoff team last year. They're a great team last year. I'm going for a team outside of the playoffs last year. Give me Bonanza. I love this team. I think Deshaun Martin might be my favorite player in the Valley. Sterling Sprague, great quarterback. These guys are going to put up ridiculous numbers. I mean, you're going to have a computer mathematics degree to be able to add up all their yards at the end of the year. I'm telling you, these guys are going to be all over the field. I think I made the comparison to, I moved here from the Midwest, so I think that they're going to be the Texas Tech of Las Vegas high school football. They're going to put up so many yards. Now, the question is, are they going to be to stop anyone? But I think that second place is up for grabs in the Southwest, and Durango's obviously going to be very good too, but I really like Bonanza this year.
And I see where you're coming from. Obviously, you know, the Martin kid's a special athlete, but my thing is, I think Bonanza has, You got to have 11, dude. That's, you got to have 11 kids on the field for every play. And I don't know if Bonanza's got, you know, 3 through 11 to put out there. I think they're a great story. I think they have a, you know, 2 real talented players, 1 elite player. They lost like 63-0 to Gorman last year. They ran out of lights in the scoreboard, Kiefer. So I just don't see them turning it around that much to where, you know, they don't lose by 5 touchdowns. I think that's got to be the bar when you play Gorman. Do you lose by more or less than 5 touchdowns? If you lose by 34 or less, it's a victory. If you lose by 35 or more, go turn your pads in.
Ouch. Well, I believe that Del Sol lost by more than 35, and that was in the state championship game. So.
Well, they were worn out from the week before.
All right, well, we talked about some of the sleepers, talked about Gorman, talked about Palo. Now we're going to kind of go to a rapid-fire round. I'm going to spit off every team in the Valley to Brewer. He's going to give you a minute or less about each of them. Why don't we start right away in the Sunrise Southeast Division, most competitive division last year. The playoff race went down to the very last week. Let's start in Henderson. Basic, what do you think?
Well, here's the deal with Basic. They've got to replace their quarterback, Tyler Dobbins. And even though the new quarterback, Vince Carducci, throws better than Dobbins, I'm not sure he knows the offense as well. I think Basic, great team. They've only lost 5 games the last 2 years. Went to the state semifinals last year. Here's the deal. They have no Division I kids any year. How do they do it every year? I cannot figure it out. I think the Basic team has got a real tough schedule. They have Durango early. The league is as good as it's going to be. I know I'm always hard on Basic, but I just don't know how they win week in and week out, Case. I think they take 5th this year, my man, in the league. 5th for the Wolfpack.
On to the only team that wasn't really in that race last year that I just talked about. Coronado kind of struggled the last couple of years. Anyway, they turn it around.
God bless them for trying. Here's the problem at Coronado. Ton of numbers, a good part of town. They just have had no stability at the head coaching rank. Lance Cooper comes in. He's going to be their 3rd head coach in 3 years, and he's got a task of trying to turn a program around, but it's been constant transition for the kids. I do like Cody Messino. He's a sophomore wide receiver. He's very athletic. Coronado threw the ball a lot last year. They're going to continue to throw the ball now, but I just don't see him winning any games in the league of the 7-team league. They're the team that, if they went and made the playoffs, it would be a surprise.
Next team, last year's state runner-up, Del Sol. But, I mean, it seems like there's basketball teams in Las Vegas that have more kids than this football team does. But it's never been a problem before. Do you expect another strong year from Del Sol?
I really do expect another strong year from Del Sol. They have 7 kids who are going to start both ways this year. Devontae Stapleton, linebacker, running back, under the radar. He's going to be the next to Zarek Reed. You remember to Zarek Reed? We didn't even know who he was last year, and he became the Gatorade Player of the Year. Del Sol is always successful because they establish the run on both sides of the ball. They stop you from running. They pick up yards to open the passing game. Love the quarterback, Troy Miller. Don't know who he's going to throw to because Del Sol did lose Evan Weinstock, their big receiver. But I think when it's all said and done, somehow Del Sol finds a way to be at the top of the standings and to win playoff games. 7 kids playing both ways. I know they're going to be tired, but mark my words, Devontae Stapleton is going to have a great year. He's a great high school football player, nothing more than that, but he's going to have a great year.
I'm kind of surprised you didn't wax more poetic about Troy Miller, because I know he's one of your favorite people. So, Troy, if you're listening, if you want to get a framed photo of yourself and sign it, I guarantee if you send it here, it'll be on Ray's desk.
I will tell you right now, and we'll talk about Troy. We could have a whole podcast devoted to the kid, but I have never seen a high school kid transform his body like Troy Miller did. Troy Miller went from being lanky. He's always been tall and lanky and not muscular. He looks like now he could be on a calendar. Honest to God, the kid is muscular. I don't know what he's doing, but sign me up for the system. Maybe it's push-ups, maybe it's lifting weights, but the kid looks great. And if the whole team has worked as hard as him just by looking at the body, then they're going to have a good year. That's all I got to say. I've mentioned this on The Office every time I'm down at Del Sol. I see the Troy Miller kid and I'm like, who's this in Troy Miller's face? I'm like, oh my God, it's Troy Miller. Wow.
From one of Brewer's favorites to one of my favorites, if you have to give me one kid to start a defense with in Las Vegas, it might be hard for me to pass up Connor Afoa. I was at 2 Foothill games last year, and he made like almost every single tackle. Really, truly one of the most underrated, best standout kids in town on the defensive side of the ball. Tell us about the rest of Foothill. Right?
Well, Foothill, no matter what they do this year, they're heroes because they beat Vegas last year, snapped Vegas' streak of 6 straight Sunrise titles, opened the door for all the other Henderson teams. Foothill's a team that seemingly is always young, but they got a lot of young talent. I love Parker Riggin, the quarterback. It's just nobody mentions these Foothill kids because they're so under the radar. I think they're taking fourth in the league this year. I like the Riggin kid at quarterback. I like the Keplinger kid at wide receiver. Keegan Buck is the star of their defense, a three-year starter. And I think Foothill, they're real confident. They think they're going to surprise some people. The league is ultra tough this year. I think they take fourth, but mark my words, dude, they're going to beat each other up all year in that league. Who knows who's going to beat who, and Foothill's always in the mix, baby.
On to the next team. I missed the playoffs last year. Green Valley were kind of a perennial playoff team before that, though. Any way they can get back to their glory days this year?
Aaron Love, the junior tailback, Gladys Knight's grandson, Ryan Lopez, the linebacker. Green Valley has a few talented players. They're kind of putting it in a new offense. It's going to look like the Texas Tech one. So we'll have to flip a coin to see who goes covers it, because it'll get over at like 11 o'clock at night, folks. But Green Valley's a team under the radar. I don't have them in the playoffs, and the program's in a little bit of a transition. But, you know, they have a good few players. David Overstreet at defense, he's big, I tell you that, and he looks real healthy. And it's going to be interesting to see how the passing attack of Green Valley leads the way. Previously, they've been run first.
Gladys Knight's grandson, I had no idea. I love her chicken and waffles place in Atlanta.
Really?
A team that looks like they may have eaten there a few times, Liberty. This team is huge. They love the chicken and waffles, I bet. What do you think about Liberty?
Well, I cannot give you any names for Liberty because I absolutely
can't pronounce them.
I cannot.
Right?
I asked the coach today. I'm like, how do you do it? That's half the battle. Could you imagine? You know, coaches are always yelling at people, Kiefer, Brewer, get in the game, do some push-ups. And you're like, Liberty, a real heavy Polynesian team. Sam Tai, the great defensive end. Ty Bird's going to play both ways at running back and defensive back. They've got a sophomore quarterback taking his first varsity snaps. If he does well, I think Liberty really does well. Believe it or not, I really like Liberty contend for the league title. I think this is their year. They're big up front. I tell everybody this story. I went over there one day to watch them practice. I went over to somebody. I'm like, hey, coach, where's head coach Morocco at? He's like, I'm a junior lineman. The kid was bigger than me and you put together, honest to God. So Liberty's got the girth. They got the size. They got the power. They lack the speed. Quarterback a little inexperienced. I'm still on their bandwagon, baby.
Maybe other than Gorman, the team we heard the most about in the offseason is Silverado, because, of course, they hired Randall Cunningham as an offensive coordinator. They missed the playoffs last year, although I think we both agree they are probably good enough to make it. Just lost some games they shouldn't have, maybe. What do you think about Silverado?
They fumbled 9 times against Liberty last year in the game. The coach told me yesterday they had something like 30 turnovers in league. I think Silverado is one of the top 10 schools in town. Liddell Jackson, the speedy defensive back, has got nationally quick speed. I think he runs a 40-second 40-yard dash, if I'm not mistaken. He was just at Nationals. He is so quick that he's going to be a difference maker. He's got 8 offers highlighted by Utah. He's going to play offense and defense, running back, defensive back. Silverado's got like 4 offensive linemen returning. They're all like 6'3", 280. They're all eating at, you know, Gladys Knight's Chicken and Waffles place, and they're big men. I think Silverado has got to be mentioned with the top 3 in the league: Liberty, Silverado, Del Sol, as one of the teams to beat. And all 3 of those teams think they're going to be players throughout the city.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but now we're through the Southeast, and it looks like your picks are Liberty 1, Silverado 2, Del Sol 3, Foothill 4.
That's who I got, and I know that the basic folks are going to throw tomatoes at my house. I underestimate them every year for the simple fact that they just don't pass the eye test. They have no kids that are like, oh, wow, look at Joe Smith over there. He's huge. He's like a tree trunk. They never have that, and somehow they find a way to win, so maybe they prove me wrong.
More weird Walmart encounters with basic kids for Brewer coming up. But I will give basic some credit. I'm putting them in the 4th slot in this division. I'll give Silverado 3, Del Sol 2, just so consistent. But in the end, I'm doing the Haka dance along with Hooray. Give me Liberty 1. I think they win the Southeast.
I talked you into that.
I love Coach Morocco.
Yeah, you do, you do.
But let's get on to the Northeast, and another one of my favorite coaches. If I had to listen to one pep talk, I don't know if I could go past Arena Football League legend Hunky Cooper at Canyon Springs. Canyon Springs, the first team to talk about, should be near the top of the Northeast this year.
Yeah, Eddie Smith, the third, their linebacker, was a first-team all-league guy last year. Canyon Springs took 2nd to Vegas, had the league loss to Vegas, and they're going to be competing for the league title over there. Hunky's just done a tremendous job. Participation is up. Ton of athletes. they're going to be they're going to run all over you, run around you, shake and bake with you. Hunky is a great post-game interview, but what he does even better is he really cares about those kids, and he's given them an identity, given them a form to succeed in. And I really think that he's setting it up to take over as the top dog in that league, if not this year, maybe the year after.
Time for my favorite part of the program, where we can rub some salt in Brewer's wounds. Last year, his alma mater, Chaparral, did not win a game. They even lost the cleat game to Eldorado, their biggest game of the year. Ray, is there any way they can get a win this year?
I tell you what, I was embarrassed last year. My passion for Chaparral High is deep. You know, my letter hangs at the house, and I'm real proud to be from that part of town, and was really disappointed last year on their performance. Zach Luciano, the quarterback, is about 5'8", and he looks like he's in the eighth grade. But God bless him, he throws a great ball, and hopefully they get some people who could catch it. Unfortunately, Shap's school district zone has kind of shrunk. It started in 92 when I was there, and Green Valley and Cheyenne opened, and we lost our athletes to Cheyenne and our money to Green Valley. Now we're just losing whatever random kids we have to, like, Vegas and Eldorado, and we're going to start a football team. Can we get 11 kids to go out? And the Luciano kid shows up, and he's the quarterback. And like I said, he does throw a good ball, and I'm excited for him. It's just I don't know who's going to block for him or who's going to catch his passes or who's going to run the ball. I think Donnie Davis's heart's in the right place. But, you know, it's like you go to the dance, and in Vegas, the best team in that league, Faircloth has got – high heels, a nice dress, and some hairspray for his girlfriend. And Donnie Davis is over there at the dollar store trying to dress his girl. It's a number thing, dude. That's all I got, brother.
Well, that makes sense. You can feel the passion in Ray's voice about Chaparral, but I just don't see him getting it done again this year. It's going to be tough. On to a team that I have a lot of questions about, because they sure did lose a lot. Desert Pines, will they be able to rebound? I mean, they lost pretty much all their playmakers from last year's team.
They lose their quarterback, their top player, Eric Tuilomo. They lose the quarterback, Dalton Lalelu. I got two Hawaiian Polynesian names right there. But lost their leading tackler. And all signs point to Desert Pines having a bad year. I will tell you, they return their trio of running backs, including Chancellor Davis Jr. I played with his dad at Chaparral. And they're going to run the ball. And I talked to a few schools that were at camp with Desert Pines. They said Desert Pines is real big up front. They're going to be able to run the ball. So I think because Coach Bennett is real structured, that Desert Pines is going to be able to piece it together, turnover. You know, new players is all part of high school sports, and it's going to be interesting to see how Desert Pines does it, you know, post the great class they had last year.
A very underrated player on this team, 3-year starter at quarterback, Ja'Cory Williams for Eldorado. The problem is these teams have just been awful. They haven't had a whole lot of numbers, haven't had a whole lot of athletes. They've got a great quarterback, but is he going to have anything to work with again in 2010?
I mean, it's a shame. Eldorado didn't have a JV team last year. Their varsity team was essentially their JV team because they lost all their players to Sunrise Mountain. Now, that statement says it all right there. Sunrise Mountain lost to Boulder City twice by a combined 140 points. Eldorado's hurt because they lost players to Sunrise Mountain. Again, new coach Vernon Brown. He's very enthusiastic. He's got the kids believing they're going to win. He starts each practice talking about victories and what they're going to do to accomplish that. But it's a numbers game. That's all it is for Shap. That's all it is for Eldorado. That's all it is for Desert Pines. You know, Eldorado went from 3,200 enrollment, 1,600 enrollment. That's half of what you got to work with. And there's no way some of these old school teams are going to be able to survive unless the numbers get up. It's a shame. The quarterback, your boy, Ja'Cory, he's a great quarterback. If he played at another school, he'd be the man. But he plays at Eldog. Nobody hears about him. They get no publicity. It's a shame.
We've already touched on this team because how can you not when you're talking about the Northeast, the perennial power, the team that seems to be on top every year at Las Vegas High, seemingly stronger than ever this year.
Here's the deal with Vegas. They're real upset right now, Kiefer. They lost to Foothill in the quarterfinals. They were the one seed. Foothill was the four seed. There's no way they should have lost that game. It was an eye-opener. They still have the trio of the senior major at wide receiver, Hassan Henderson at quarterback, Pharrell Victor at running back. And they were guilty of throwing the ball too much against Foothill. They're going to change the offense a little bit this year. They're going to run the ball. Pharrell Victor is going to be like a horse, and they're going to ride him 30 times a game. And Vegas has got so much team speed, man. I mean, Liberty is like the turtle in the gas station. And Vegas is like Jeff Gordon going around the track, dude. They are super quick. Carl Lewis, Hassan Bolt, whoever you want to compare them to, they're a quick, athletic team. I think they're even big up front. I like Vegas to win the region. They're one of the elite teams in town.
Their big rival, of course, in the bone game every year, Rancho. Rancho's hoping to be improved this year. Any chance they can compete for one of those last spots in the playoffs?
I like DeAndre Mason from Rancho. He's got a lot of height. I think Rancho's heading in the right direction. They just need to get a few more talented players to get there. Like a lot of teams in the Northeast, they have enough ones. They just don't have any twos, and injuries happen in a contact sport, and they just can't get over the hump. Rancho, Elvin Dick's doing a great job. You got to remember with that program, they spent 3 years without a field to practice on, and they're still trying to get their groove back with the new stadium and the new school. They're doing great things. I think they're maybe 2 years away from contending with Las Vegas. Their JV team went 8-1 last year, and those juniors are all going to get their feet wet this year, Bud.
I'm going to give some great analysis of this next team, Sunrise Mountain. Gotta love their mascot, the Miners. I mean, we're in the Northeast where we've got teams like the Cowboys and the Jaguars, you know, kind of these run-of-the-mill names. Then you got the Miners. They got brand-new purple jerseys, second-year school. Problem is they lost every game by about 60 points last year. Can they lose them all by 20 this year, maybe make some improvements?
Well, I mean, listen, last year you got to give a mulligan to those guys. They did not even have a weight room in the new school. So it's tough when you've got kids coming from three different schools. And mind you, those three schools are Mojave, Desert Pines, and El Dorado. Doesn't exactly scream football greatness there, right? You get those kids together. They're late getting everything started. You're like, okay, here, you guys are teams. Here's your jerseys. Oh, by the way, we don't have proper video equipment. We have no weight room. And the coach, we can't find any assistance for him. So you guys go out there and try your best on Friday night. And, oh, by the way, you're in a bad part of town and people are going to make fun of you all year. Well, congratulations. That's not what high school football is about. It's about, you know, the innocence, the purity, playing in front of your friends, going out to get some dinner afterwards, waving to that hot little lady in the stands. And they didn't get to experience any of that last year. So shame on whoever was at fault for that. And I think that your number two, if it's as bad as your number one, then you got to blow it up and start all over again. It has to be better, brother.
Yeah, well, they need to be focusing on the football, hopefully not waving at pretty girls in the stands. But, I mean, I think we can both agree Miners, a great name for this league.
I'm actually rooting for Shap to play them 10 times a year.
Then maybe they could go 5-5. Anyway, on to the next team, Valley, another team that lost quite a lot. A lot of their playmakers gone. What do you expect from Valley?
Brian Brunson's a great player. He'll play quarterback for the Vikings. Copy everything I said about every school in that league. No numbers, lack of depth, lack of interest, in the middle of town. Holds true for Valley. But you got to remember, Valley's had some real good teams over the last 5 years. I don't think this will be one of the years. But when it's all said and done, they're going to be in contention against the Shaps, against the DPs, against the Ranchos to get in the tail end of the playoffs.
Yeah, you mentioned those great teams. Valley, of course, Stevenson Sylvester drafted in the NFL draft just a couple months ago. Unfortunately, though, it seems like those days are long gone. Now we're going to talk about the 3-3A teams who will be playing against the Northeast teams before they play against themselves. Boulder City, Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley. Ray, out of these teams, who do you really like?
Well, Moapa Valley is the class of the 3A year in and year out. I know the folks at Virgin don't want to hear that, and the folks at Boulder don't want to hear that. But Moapa's got a great program. This year, Zach Wyatt, Keelan Wise, Kason Lewis, Coach Brett Lewis's son. They've got three good guys in the skilled position. The only problem, they're real young up front. They got a lot of new bodies. They're going to have to get used to it. I like the fact that they're playing those Northeast teams because they match up well against the Shaps and the Valleys of the world. And it's going to be a real interesting league. The 3A is such a joke. Three teams in the 3A. Imagine only having two league games. What's worse, Sunrise Mountain with no weights or a three-team league where you got two league games? Absolutely embarrassing. This year, they still have a four-team state tournament. It's in Reno, so the Reno area is going to have three teams in the state tournament, and the South is only going to have one. NIAA, great organization, enough said. I hate to be so – I cannot figure it out. It's a shame for those kids because those small towns, Boulder City, Mesquite, Virgin Valley, Overton, Moapa Valley, they love going to these high schools. It's a true environment. Everybody goes to the games. It's a cool thing to do. And yet you got two league games? let's just circle August 16th or October 16th. That's the day Boulder City's going to come in, and we're going to see if we're going to make the playoffs. But if we lose, we still got four other games against Cheyenne's JV team and whoever, and we'll have fun. It's a good time. That's all I got.
Enough said. I don't have anything else to add, but let's get real quick. Your top four in the Northeast, who's going to the playoffs?
Vegas beats out Canyon Springs, so it'll go Vegas, Canyon Springs, DP, and Rancho. But those last two spots are really up for grab any given day because all those teams have some special athletes who could take over.
I'm almost the same, but I have it written down right here. As you can see, I'm not lying. I have Vegas, Canyon Springs, Rancho in third, and then Desert Pines. Let's move, now that we're done with the Sunrise, on to the Sunset. We're going to start in the Southwest with a team I've already kind of professed my love for, Bonanza. Ray, you aren't quite on the bandwagon yet, but is there a way we could see this Bonanza defense improved this year?
They can be improved. I'm worried that Deshaun Martin, who's a real talented running back, real talented defensive back, he had a great year last year, put up Nintendo numbers. But how much of the team could he have on his shoulders? I mean, short of going out and you know, passing water to his teammates, he does everything for that team. I think Bonanza takes third in the league. They're going to be improved, just not that improved.
Of course, they hired George Baker, ex-Centennial coach, is now going to be their defensive coordinator. But moving from Bonanza to another team that I think you can't say anything bad about what they've done in the last couple of years. Clark, gone from that having that huge losing streak to now they win a few games every year, but still haven't broke through to the playoffs. Could this be the year?
Chris Jackson from Clark has got the coolest hair of any kid in Las Vegas. He's got, like, the kid-and-play mohawk in Clark yellow and black colors. Real awesome. Clark's trying. They really are. They got a quarterback from Durango. Remember, this was a team that suffered through a 40-game losing streak. You win two or three games a year, it beats the alternative. Clark's still looking for a first playoff berth in something like 10 to 12 years. Chris Jackson, hopefully he plays as good as he looks. Unfortunately, I don't have the Chargers doing much in that league. Beating Pahrump, as everybody will.
So happy we mentioned the hair. I already mentioned the Friday Night Lights movie reference, but how about another one? He looked exactly like Booby Miles. Now, if he can run like Booby Miles, Clark might be in for a really good season. On to a team that made the playoffs in their second year, Desert Oasis. What do you think about Desert Oasis?
Well, listen, Desert Oasis really exceeded expectations last year. They even hung with Gorman for a while. They do lose a few players, Cameron Jefferson, the offensive lineman. I just don't see Desert Oasis repeating that. I think they've got a lot of kids out there, beautiful new school. Our boss, Rob Curley, goes there. His daughter's on the girls' basketball team. She's awesome. She could slam dunk, I think. So I think Desert Oasis is actually going to be improved. But I think since they overachieved so much last year, they're going to have to take a step back. But they're doing everything right. They've got a great coach. They've got a lot of participation. It's an event. They got great uniforms, great facilities. They care a lot about everything, and it's just unfortunately, you know, it's like you ask the hottest girl in class to the prom, she says yes, and then you come back and you hang out with the chess club. What are you going to do the rest of your tenure in high school? You know what I'm saying?
I think that's over my head. Yeah. I think we can both agree that
they overexceeded. That's all I'm saying, dude.
I think we can both agree that if the topic of this podcast was women's basketball, we'd both be picking Desert Oasis to go all the way undefeated.
Diamondbacks!
Anyway, I've already said Deshaun Martin is on my team. I claim him one of my favorite players. Now on to one of Brewer's favorite players, Julio Mora for Durango. I know you're expecting big things out of him.
5'7", 160 pounds, led the state in rushing. Great player. He's going to be playing defense this year as well at linebacker. Julio, there's no doubt in my mind that he is going to lead them to victory every week except when they play Bishop Gorman. And against Bishop Gorman, he's going to put his best foot forward. I think that I was out at Durango today as well. They got a ton of people out there. They're organized. They're doing things the right way. Chase Roberts at quarterback for the second year. He throws a great ball. He organizes the offense. I think, you know, Donovan Smith is athletic for him as well. I like Durango to take second in that league, and if Gorman wasn't there, I think they'd rock and roll.
We've already talked a whole lot about Gorman, but here we are on them again. Anything else you can add about Gorman, any other players we need to look out for?
Well, Gorman's got a roster of about 60 kids this year, so there's going to be a lot of kids getting some mop-up minutes. So I'm sure we're going to mention 57 kids 57 times.
Next team, the Pahrump Valley Trojans. I think I can kind of sum this up in one word. Yikes.
Another shame to the NIAA that they're playing in that league. absolutely no speed and no athleticism. If they were playing against Boulder City, Moapa, and Virgin like they should be, they'd be in competition. But since they're playing against Gorman and they don't have the size, the numbers, or the athletes, they lose every week by 80, and that's a fair way for the kids. God bless them for trying. Hope they have fun. Never going to win a game.
Why couldn't we get them a game against Sunrise Mountain, too? I mean, then one of those two teams is going to get a win if they played each other.
Yeah, Pahrump's last win was 3 years ago against a 2A Christian school playing in its first non-8-man game. Enough said.
Pretty much sums it up.
And the coach of the Christian school communicates more with us than the coach of Pahrump.
Interesting. Well, on to a team that really was hurt by Desert Oasis success. They took a lot of kids from here. Sierra Vista really was rough last year. Are things looking up this year?
Sierra Vista is a team who, just like El Dorado to Sunrise Mountain, decimated by the lack of numbers. Sierra Vista, get your victories against Clark. Get your victories against Pahrump. Have fun. Nothing really stands out. Coach Mark Suave does his best. They just aren't going to do good. That league, besides Gorman, is just so up and down.
A team that's been pretty consistent in that league, though. I think they've been in the playoffs at least 3 years in a row. Spring Valley, new coach. Do you think about the same result this year?
Well, here's the deal. Spring Valley has got a ton of athletes, a ton of talent. Brandon Lopez is a great player. The new coach, Marcus Teal, has been on staff. He was with former coach Charles Anthony. He knows the tradition. Jordan Cox is another great athlete for Spring Valley. They're going to be competitive. I think they're a year away, but I really think Marcus Teal is going to get some of the tradition back in that school, and they're gonna rock and roll. They do this Midnight Madness thing I'm going to, where, you know, they have their first practice at 12:01. They barbecue. It's just one tradition. And remember, who was the last team to beat Gorman? Spring Valley in the league. So, enough said.
There you have it. Last team in the Southwest, Western. Talked to Coach Carmona the other day. He said, look, we're simplifying the offense, simplifying the defense. He took a lot of last year's problems on his shoulders and said, we can make the playoffs this year. Is there a reason for optimism?
Well, I mean, there is, just because Philip Payne went to Western, as did Reggie Bullock and Lawrence Guy and Ronnie Paulo, and those are all, you know, elite college players. It's just that Philip Payne, Reggie Bullock, and Ronnie Paulo are no longer at Western. And they're just, you know, just like Valley, just like Shap, no depth, no numbers. And, you know, yeah, unfortunately, the league is so bad, they probably could compete for the four spot. Carmona's a Shap guy. Brewer's a Shap guy. I like them.
Who do you got 1 through 4 in this league?
I got to go with Gorman because I'm not crazy. Durango at 2, your Bengals at 3, and Spring Valley at 4.
Pretty close to the same, except I'm just flip-flopping the 2 and the 3. Bengals 2, Durango 3, but I think both those teams will be very good.
I tell you, that Durango bonanza game, you and me ought to bet like some 10-cent round robins at the Longhorn on that.
Sounds good. That will definitely be a big week for this podcast. Let's move on to the last Sunset Northwest. Traditionally the toughest league, maybe again this year, but it could be a little down again. Arborview, first team, they lost a whole lot of kids from last year. Any chance they can compete this year?
Case, they call that league the black and blue division, the Big Ten of high school football in Nevada, because the teams beat each other up year in and year out. A lot of quality teams. Teams 5 and 6 who don't make the playoffs would be 1 and 2 in other leagues. This year, the Big Ten is down. Arborview is down as well. They're very young. They've got a lot of young players in key positions. Don't expect much from them, but Arborview is one of these schools that they really like high school football. Coach Barnson does a great job. They've got a sport turf field, a lot of support from the community, a lot of numbers. It's just a matter of getting some of these young players some reps, and then maybe they're a year away.
It's nice to get from the schools that have numbers problems to the schools that have a ton of numbers. We just talked about Arborview, but now Centennial, the Bulldogs, what do you think of them?
Leon Evans takes over for George Baker, and they've actually got a few nice players who I think are going to have a chance to make some good things happen. Willie White, Ty Cole, two probably of the top 10, 15 players in that league. I think Centennial, believe it or not, has a chance to squeeze in and get a playoff spot. You know, just whenever you see the amount of participation they have in that program, you can't figure out why they don't make the playoffs. Maybe Leon turns it around. Then again, it's his first year, so you never know. Again, the Northwest is so bad this year.
New coach in Chi-Town, David Cochran, really seems to be a fiery guy, really fired up, said, we're bringing some of the tradition back to Cheyenne. I've worked the kids harder than they have been in the last few years in the weight room. Really seems fired up about Cheyenne football this year.
I think the one fact that nobody argues is that Cheyenne has got the best athletes in town. And they're going to find kids, and they're going to get the balls in their ball in their hands, and they're going to run, and they're going to run. And, you know, they've got the Noble kid who plays on the line for them, who went to LSU's camp and did okay there. And they've got a few other kids who are real athletic and who are going to give them a run. I like Cheyenne. I like David Cochran. He was on Coach Charles Anthony's staff. Last year was just a train wreck waiting to run off the tracks. This year they're getting everything back together. I think they're going to benefit from a down league and maybe finish higher than a lot of folks think. Again, speed kills, and they got a ton of it.
James Poole, Steven Nixon, Tim Hassan, that's just what Cimarron Memorial lost in the backfield. Any way they can recover from just losing so much talent?
Oh, man. Cimarron Case has been to the playoffs 15 straight years. Some schools have never even been to the playoffs before in their school history. Christian Brown is back at running back and linebacker. Gerard Martinez won a state title with the Meadows 2 years ago. His first games, they opened with Vegas on Thursday night TV. I think this is the year Cimarron doesn't make the playoffs. I know that the program is very established. I know there's a lot of tradition there, a lot of victories. It's just they lost everybody, brother, and it's not going to get better this year.
From a team that lost a lot to a team that's bringing a whole lot back, Faith Lutheran, really optimistic over there. Really think this can be the year that they establish themselves in the 4A in only their second year.
Yeah, and sometimes you forget that they're so young to the 4A because they have such a dynamic group of players. Joe Patera, the quarterback, Don Pearson, the wide receiver, Brett Luby, the tight end. They're going to be able to pitch and catch the ball as good as I've seen in a while. One problem, they lack speed, they lack size on the line. A.J. Kaplan on the line is probably their best lineman, and he's a kid who is a college prospect. Other than that, they just don't have the speed. And you got to remember, they were in the 3A. They bolted for obvious reasons. They don't want to be in that two-team train wreck. And, you know, now they're getting established. The program's, you know, seen an increase in talent level. It's just, are they going to be big enough up front to give Portero time to pass, or is the kid going to be running for his life like he did last year against Centennial and break his arm again or break his hand?
They beat everyone they played last year in the regular season. Legacy, probably going to be a little tougher to do that this year.
I tell you what, James Price scares me. He is so big, so powerful, so strong. That defense last year, Case, was dominant, held Palo Verde to 6 points, beat them to win the league title. They lose as much as Cimarron does, but they do return some pieces on defense. LJ McMorris, the tailback, had the winning touchdown as a sophomore against Palo Verde. He comes back. He's super fast. He's going to fill in for Deshae Edwards. They're not going to experience a drop-off there. I have Legacy in my top 10. I'm still on their bandwagon because they got a lot of numbers. James Price is beastly good.
Mojave, pretty much the doormat of the Northwest. It doesn't look like it's going to change this year.
You know, Mojave opened in 96 with Palo, two teams in opposite paths. Hey, they show up and play every year, and this year they're going to show up and try to do it again. You talked to Coach Armstrong for your preview story. You probably know a little bit more about them than I do. It's a team, they want to win. Everybody wants to win. That's all I got for you.
How about on to a team that is going to win, whether you want to admit it or not, Palo Verde. How well do you think they do this year?
Well, Palo Verde had played over Thanksgiving weekend 7 straight times until last year. That means they made the state semifinals 7 straight times. One of the perennial powers in Las Vegas. They do it right. They got a middle school program. They have great participation on their lower levels. They run this, you know, wing tee offense that nobody could stop. The problem is they can't throw the ball. It killed them against Legacy last year. Palo's lost 3 games in the last 2 years. You know they're going to be in the hunt again. You know everybody wants one game. That's Palo Gorman in the playoffs because two Summerlin schools 5 minutes apart. Kids know each other. Kids hate each other. You know, last year I showed up at 6 o'clock, Case. I had walked 4 miles to get to the game. That's how many people were there for a 7 o'clock game. Palo, Darwin does a great job over there. That offense is great. The kids are organized. They play great defense. If they could establish some kind of passing game, your boys, your pick to to beat Gorman would have a chance. You know, you go get that Paolo tattoo you've always wanted, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know, if you know how tattoos work, first they outline. They don't color them until later. So I've got the outline on my arm right now. I'm going to let Darwin or Austin, the boys, prove it to me the few weeks before I get it colored in. But this is all I'm going to say about my thoughts on Palo Verde. 2010 state champions. You got my pick already right now.
Wow. Wow.
On to the last team in the Northwest. Shadow Ridge really have struggled the last few years, but they're supposed to be improved. Supposedly had a great offseason, have 9 starters back on defense.
Yeah, led by Jordan Kurth, the linebacker. The kid could make some good tackles. I heard Shadow Ridge did well in camp. Camp is one thing. Utah State's another thing. We'll see how they do when the season starts. Shadow Ridge has just struggled mightily last year. You know, they beat Mojave, and then they just fall to pieces. So we'll see how they do. They return a lot. They're optimistic that they could turn some things around, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
All right, well, let's get your final prediction. Northwest, who's making the playoffs?
Palo Verde parlayed the Legacy, Cheyenne, and Centennial. Cimarron, 15 years, not a this year.
I'm surprised you're picking Centennial over Faith Lutheran.
You know what? Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. See, I still don't even think of Faith in that league. I had Faith in our top 10. Faith Lutheran is in there. Centennial's out. I like Faith a lot, actually.
I know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But let's go on. I finally have some variety. Here's my top 4 in the Northwest. Palo first. I'm taking Cheyenne second. Legacy third. Cimarron, just too much tradition. They're going to find a way to make the playoffs in fourth.
Wow, you're old school, man. Chi-town.
I'm getting a full sleeve on my arm. Cimarron, Bonanza, Palo Verde tattoos.
Oh, I tell you what, Chaparral. If Shap made the playoffs this year, Kiefer, I might go down to that Walmart by my house and buy that Chaparral shirt pant combo they got hanging on the aisles. I walk by it every time I go to that store, and it's just beautiful, beautiful and sexy, orange and black, baby.
He's been eyeing it. Well, thanks for sticking with us this long. That does it for the first edition of Prep Sports Now 2010. Be sure to keep up with us.